Charisma Quotient. I'm your host, Kim Seltzer, a dating and makeover expert, where I will help you build confidence, make connections, and find love from the outside in. You do have the power to create the life you want, and that includes love life. But often it's hard to see that, right? You might think, oh, I'm too old to attract that kind of love I want, or, oh, there are no great men out there, or, oh, I live in a town where there's no one to date, or, oh, my body isn't attractive enough to feel sexy. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, right? And with that, I always say, I believe you. I mean, I believe that you believe that all of those things are true because that is all you are seeing, right? But if you think about it as putting on a different pair of glasses and suddenly you see the same world but different, that's where the power comes in. I mean, what if you knew you had the power to see that you can find love at any age, that there are great men and women all around you, that you can find other singles just like you where you live, and that when you look in the mirror, you see one sexy guy or one sexy gal? Because the truth is, you have the power to achieve greatness in every aspect of your life, but it does take changing a few things about what you see. So in my workshops, I often talk about using what I call the MAP method. And that is changing your mindset, changing your approach, and changing your perspective. So it might mean putting on a certain dress where you see your body differently. It might mean joining a social group where you see more singles in your age group. It might mean really paying attention more to noticing who's noticing you to see the great men and women everywhere, right? And it means having a more positive and abundant mindset than one of scarcity and negativity. And it's doing things that you normally wouldn't do. And that is where you get a different result. Because at the end of the day, that is all we have control over. I mean, you cannot change other people or the environment around you, but you can change you to achieve the greatness you deserve. But that last part is crucial. You have to see that you deserve something more. I remember I was coaching this woman, and actually she had just recently been on my Where Are They Now episodes. And if you want to catch that, it's with Vicky. And she was talking about exactly that whole transformation she went through. Because when I first started working with her, she kept saying there are no good men out there. She hated dating. She was wearing drabby clothes. She never thought she was sexy. Like all the things that she saw in the mirror and also believed were absolutely true. So guess what? Dating sucked. Quite honestly, like, and all the men that she was attracting was not her men. And she got in a real big funk. And she said, you know, I live in a small town. I don't think there's a lot of guys here who are my age group who actually I could date. So, you know, she did a series of programs with me. We definitely started from the outside, as I always do. And we had to get her a new look because those clothes she was wearing was not serving her. And so she wasn't going to be able to see anything different. And so we got her a whole new clothes. And she talks about this on the episode. That's when everything changed, when she saw herself in those pictures in the mirror as this beautiful, sexy woman. And then, of course, I was teaching her other things like conversation tricks and how to, like, elongate her story so that men could really feel her, and really practicing the emotional intelligence piece. And the most beautiful thing was, after she went to one of my dating retreats and doing some coaching, she was just happier. And because of that, she started seeing things in a more positive light. And guess what? It's not like a mistake or an accident that she attracted this great guy into her life. Oh, and guess what? He is in her area, you know, where she said that there were no great men. So I tell that story because I think it highlights the point that we're talking about today. You can achieve greatness in your love life. And with me today is an amazing woman who's going to help me talk about this topic so that you can feel empowered to transform your life into greatness. She is the founder of the Next Step Leadership Academy, a company that empowers women to use everything that shows up in their lives, good, bad, or otherwise, to reach their next level of greatness. And she is a transformation specialist using her Everyday Peace Philosophy to coach women on how to master goal attainment. She is the author of Freedom is Your Birthright. She's the radio host of the Dr. Dravon James Everyday Peace Live coach on the Sirius XM. It's Road Dog Truckin' Show. I want to hear more about that. And an actress whose career credits include a recurring role on HBO's acclaimed The Wire. Dr. Dravon James, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm super excited for this show. I tell you, I was just sitting here smiling from ear to ear as I listened to that intro. Boy, do we have some things to talk about.
I told you. I mean, well, you and I were talking offline before we hit record, and I was like, she has no idea how much synergy there is between the two of us. And we're both from Chicago. We were just talking about getting out of that cold that you need to. Anyway, yeah, super excited about this. And I know you have a lot to bring to this discussion, but, you know, and I saw some of your story, but I don't know all of it. I would love to hear just how you got into this whole idea of greatness and doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much for asking. So my story starts a long, long time ago. I feel like the senior citizen when I say this, but I was actually 18 years old. I had just graduated from high school and I was on my way in a couple of weeks to go to college to study pharmacy. And my brother, who's younger than me, gave me a little bitty book called The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. Now, most people know that book. It's a tiny book, but it was packed with power and promise for me. I read that book, and I'm not exaggerating, at least 20 times within that short period of time when he gave it to me before I left for college that year. Because what happened for me is it opened up this door of me. Well, I'm going to tell you something funny. When I first read that book, I honestly thought that I had discovered the secret to how to never have a problem in my entire life. I was 18.
Right. So we're 18. Only that easy, right?
And I, you know, we talked before the show. I told you I love to take notes. I'm a feverish note taker, so I have journals and journals and journals just from that book alone. And I always laugh when I read those. You know, that 18-year-old girl writing out the formula for not having any problems. So, needless to say, I did not discover the formula for not having any problems. But what I did discover, which is just like alchemy, is how to use everything that shows up in my life to help me reach my next level of greatness, right? Mm. So that book really did that for me. It opened up the doorway and told me, you know, I have some control. And you mentioned the word emotional intelligence. And I didn't have that term in my wheelbarrow of terms at 18 years old. But I think that book did that for me too. It helped me to start on my journey of emotional intelligence. It helped me to start on my journey of different perspectives for everything. And you said something, you hit the nail on the head, that, yeah, you're right. If you think that there are no men or women in your town for you, you're right that you could believe that. And if you believe that, then yeah, you're right, right? But you can change your perspective. And when you change the way you see the world you see will change. And that's where my journey, I got all those concepts, different phraseology, of course, but mm-hmm. all that self-soothing even, quick memory from back there, he would give you these words in the book that you can use. And my word was serenity and tranquility. And I remember I would say that when I found myself, here I am 18 years old, serenity and tranquility, but it really made a difference. I've coached hundreds of people and part of my coaching process always comes from the foundation that was laid in that book for me.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. I love that too, like how things can change in just one little book or one podcast that you listen to or one message you get from a mentor that can like completely change the direction of your life and impact you in a powerful way. So that's really cool. Well, what drove you to even get that book in the first place? Were things just not going in a great direction or?
Well, the interesting thing is my brother gave it to me. I graduated. And so here's the funny thing. All these years, I honestly thought that my brother had bought that book for me. It was in recent years, my brother said, yeah, I never bought that book. He said, I just went and took it off mommy's bookshelf and I gave it to you. Right. And I don't know what made him give me that book, except for my brother, who I mentioned, he's 13 months younger than me. He was always a person who read autobiographies. And back then, I don't think they called them self-help books, but he read a lot of positive thinking books and all this sort of things. Me, I read historical romance, and maybe he thought it was time for me to grow up because I was leaving for college. But I tell you, when he gave me that book, it really did change my perspective on the world. And I hadn't had the most charmed, easy childhood. It had a lot of bumps and knocks around, as with most people.
Everybody.
And anyway, I could have left for college feeling, woe is me. When you go to college, you're opened up to a whole nother world, kids from all kinds of, backgrounds who have a lot more. You look at you're like, oh, I'm doing worse than what I thought. But that book, because I read that book, I think I walked into the university, a new person. I was walking into a new life, but that book opened up a new door inside of me where I really did feel I was seeing things literally and figuratively for the first time. I was seeing me for the first time. I was beginning to watch how I processed information. I was beginning to watch how I defined something a problem and why I defined it a problem. And why couldn't it just be an adventure? Right?
Yeah.
Why couldn't it just be an adventure? Same, quickened heart rate and uncertainty, right? Problems give you that feeling, but adventures do too. So it helped me to start framing the way I was going to eventually view the world and view my life and my journey.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I wonder, and well, I guess this is what we're getting into and how we actually implement some of those things, right? Because it's one thing to read a book and see an outline of something and intellectually say, yeah, I want to achieve this goal or this level of greatness. But I think why people usually come to you and I, right, is the how-to. So what did you start doing to incorporate some of this stuff to take action and start seeing the greatness? I mean, look at all these things that you're doing too, which are amazing. And I didn't know if you tools that you used along the way, and maybe you teach it now.
Yeah. So I want to say the very first thing is that people do, you're right, we're life coaches, and people come to us for all sorts of reasons. And sometimes they come and they're not really sure why they come. They think they're coming for one reason, but when you start talking to them and you start, uncovering things, you realize, oh, this is your real reason, right? And so one thing, a tool that I use still today for myself and with my clients is self-awareness. It's so very important. And we only get to self-awareness if you think we're talking about love. So let's keep it in that perspective. If you're in a new relationship with somebody, right? The only way they can get to know you is to spend time with you and ask you questions and dialogue, right? We overlook that part about ourselves, right? We know a lot about, celebrities, politicians, family members, our children. But sometimes I find, and quite often even, that we don't know as much about ourself. Recently, I had a client tell me, I gave her an exercise to write down 5 things that she liked to do, just 5 things that she liked to do. And she struggled. She couldn't think of 5 things that she liked to do in and of herself, for herself, not for the children, not for the spouse, for her.
Good.
Right.
That's
so good. The first tool for self-awareness is to simply greet yourself, however, your kind salutations, and ask yourself how you're doing today. And wait. Just wait. Don't rush to the, the water cooler answer. I'm fine. How are you? Don't do that. Right. And I would say to myself, Drayvon, how are you doing today? Right. Now, I've done it so much to the little girl in me will well up and say, she'll start stomping her feet. I'm tired. I don't feel well. I'm lonely.
I was wondering. I'm like, I was just going to ask, I'm like, are you honest with yourself, though? Or do you always say, I'm great. I feel like awesome. Or do you actually say how you feel?
Yeah. Right. But most people, when they first start doing it, because we're so used to people not really being that invested in the answer when we ask. The politically correct thing to do is to say, oh, everything's great. How are you today? Right?
Right.
But you're not speaking to a stranger. You're speaking to yourself. And so what you want to do is to slow down. Right. And when you do it the first couple of times, you probably come up with nothing. Your inner self is like, what? Are you talking to me? Are you now paying attention to me? I don't know. And it starts to hide from you. But you do it a couple of times, and that inner part of you will realize, oh, my goodness, you are doing what? You're paying attention to me. I remember that movie years ago. Oh, they like me. Right. That famous line from the movie. Right. But you begin to have that impact on yourself that you like you. That's the very first thing. And how do you demonstrate your like? By spending time with yourself and asking yourself, how are you doing today? right? Once you get to that, how you're doing, what you need will become evident, right? If you say, oh my gosh, I'm sad, I'm this, well, they, well, why? What's going on? This is self-talk, self-care. It starts there because you change your perspective on the world ultimately. And I love what you said. I want to go back to that too, that you start with some external stuff. I love that because you do have to change some external things if you really want to have some sustainable change in your life. But that self-awareness is my first tip for everybody. Start to be your best friend. You start to be your best friend. That doesn't mean you run out and buy the most expensive, whatever. It's really more important than that. It's you paying attention to you, you being the first person to ask how you're doing and to try to give yourself what it is that you need so that that answer is authentically, I am doing great.
I love that. And such a simple exercise, yet such an important one. And I wonder, and I'm sure you encounter this all the time, because I love what you said, that half the time people don't really even know why they call you or where they're at or what they want. Because in that self-awareness stage, I think that's when you also are aware of the things that you need and what you desire, which helps, I would think, obtain like the goals that you want to, you know, really achieve. And the reason why I'm asking this, and this I think would be really important to flesh out, is like when I have my first call with people, at the top of the call, they'll say, you know, I want a man, I want a woman, I want a relationship. But then at the end, it's not really what they want. You know, and it's like peeling away the layers. And it's like, oh, wait, actually, I just want to have sex, or I just want to have fun, or I want, you know, like, and I'm just simplifying it. So are there ways that people can come into like specific goals for themselves, really understand what they want in that stage? Are there any tricks that you teach people for that?
Yeah. So I love that you're saying that, because you're right. They come with one, I guess, yeah, big politically correct goal maybe. Mm-hmm. And then they get comfortable with you, start talking, they discover that really your goal is this. So what I always tell people is that, and we're really targeted today. We're talking about love. And when I work with clients, I say, okay, I'm going to look at your life. I'm going to ask you to look at your life in three major areas: health, wealth, and relationship. And we're going to say, you know, if you had the ideal health situation, what would that look like? And I'm going to be listening, and they're going to just, I said, just talk until you finish. There's no time. It's just talking, whatever it is that you want to, because I, you know, I could tell you about mine. And some of you are like, oh, you forgot this, but there's some stuff that's important to me that may not be important to somebody else. So tell me what's important to you, right? And we're going to talk about your wealth situation. And I want you to be totally honest. Like, if you had, you know, your ideal wealth situation, whether it be career or business or, you know, stay at home, adult, what is it that you are looking for? And they do that part, and we get to the relationship part. And so from there, we look and say, I'm going to ask you to, you know, and I'm listening too, we're going to pick one goal in each one of those categories. So since we're focused on relationship today, we'll say we'll pick one relationship goal, right? And then whatever that goal is, and we'll drill down as to your why. What does that represent to you, right? Why is that important, right? I get just recently had a client who said, you know, she wants to be married. She was married a long time and she's divorced and she would love to be married again. So we talked about that, you know, and why do you want that? Tell me about your situation is now. So it's the drilling down. Is that a little annoying question? You know, the why? Okay, then why? Okay, then why? We keep going down and asking the whys and really getting to the root of where we are and what makes us happy, not the politically correct thing. You know, I hear all kinds of things, as I'm sure you do. I hear women say, well, I want to be married because I want financial support. Well, that's totally, it's okay to be that. And so your goals are your goals. They will not be judged, especially with your life coach, right? But so how we get there a lot are with why questions. I use why a lot as my technique, is to go, you know, to drill deeper into what it is that you say you want, and pulling back the layers till we get to the why. And I got to be so funny, make you laugh. We got through with that session and she realized that, ooh, I don't know if I want a husband.
Right? Somehow I knew that was the ending of the story. I love that. So what was it that she wanted? Because this is good for people to hear.
Really? She just wants a very wealthy boyfriend to travel with and do
Not yet.
luxurious things with. And I said, and there was some in her mind, some stigma associated with that. But she herself is a very successful woman. I said, why shouldn't you have a very successful, relationship that doesn't have to have all of the responsibilities of a marriage? And I bet there are a lot of guys out there who would love to have that too. So, but just being honest with yourself without and I have to say again, being in a life coach situation to me, probably more so than anything that I've ever experienced, is the most freeing because, as you know, there's no judgment there. There is no judgment at all. Your goals are your goals, and we're here to help you to stay on track and to achieve those goals. You may change your mind midstream, but the goal is the goal. Once we why and drill down to what it is that you want, we get into strategy mode and figure out what it is that you need to do and develop the habits necessary to obtain that goal.
So that's what I was going to ask you. So after the self-awareness stage, is that when you move into breaking habits and like what are the other stages?
So then once we drill down and we get our why and we're really firm on the why, we go into, well, next we go into adding a lot of emotion to it. So we have to have that why there, right? And so we add emotion to the why, right? And start using our imagination a lot. So using our imagination, like, what would it feel like if you had this? And then we need to get really, really graphic with the emotion so that we can really get buy-in on a level beyond this is just a surface. I could take it or I could leave it. We really do need the imagination and the emotion to attach to that why, right? Once we have that, then we start saying, okay, well, what are the habits of that person? We start actually, is it AI, artificial intelligence, or avatar? I used to call it avatar. We start actually building that avatar, right? What would a woman who had, we'll just use that example, who had this particular lifestyle, well, where would she live? And what would her, geographically, and what would her home life look like? We talked about you mentioned external stuff. We deal a lot in the external at first, right? What kind of clothes does she wear? Right? Does she wear perfume? How's her hair? Is it short or long? We do all of this. We create an entire avatar that we become very, very excited about and get you. And if you're not excited about it, we scratch and we start over because you need to want to walk in this person's shoes like yesterday. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited about being her. And the great thing is that you can be her because you have created her. So now we go to work on the habits, right? That avatar would have. So if she dresses this way, right, then how much time do you think she spends on grooming? What are some, so how much sleep do you think she'll have to have, right? So she can't show up if this is your image, and we're just using that particular example, with bags in her eyes because she hasn't slept enough, or she's drank too much caffeine. So we start looking at what are the habits that particular avatar, if you will, that you've created would have around everything in her life, right? And we pick. So we do all that. We get all those habits, and then we drill down a little bit further. We make it simple. We say, okay, what's the easiest one of those habits to adopt? We always start with the easiest thing. Well, the easiest thing could be, and I'll stick with this example, was increasing your water intake, because when you increase your water intake, your skin looks amazing. It's nice and tight, right?
We all like that.
Right? Your skin looks amazing. So we increase our water intake. And if you're a person who didn't drink any water at all, like you had two sips a month, then we're going to start really, really slow. How about we just increase our water to one glass a day? And we're going to track it. And we're going to, so we start really slow. We're not in it. We don't overwhelm our systems. We start really slow because we're looking for some consistency and some wins right away that we celebrate. Right away, that we have when we do this, we're going to celebrate. Because what we know in this process of life coaching and building, helping people attain dreams is that for every step or two steps forward, there'll probably be a half a step backwards. And that's okay. That's how progress happens in all industries, right? You have that. So, but once we get some momentum going, it will help pad and cushion us and recondition our brain for our brain to know, yep, we can make changes. You may have had an upset. I had a client who was on a roll going to a gym 7 days a week. He was going 7 days per week, and he missed maybe a few days due to some sickness. And it's like, well, I'm going to get right back up and do it because I had 2 months in. And in the past, for most people, if they miss 7 or 10 days, they would consider it a wash. But because we celebrate the small wins along the consistency journey, it's easier to get right back on the wheel and start over, right? And pick up where you left off without, you know. So we do that as part of our process as well. The imagination, the emotion, creating the avatar, and then picking our goals and then selecting the smallest goal to start with.
That is awesome. And it so speaks my language too, because I think it takes the overwhelm out of the goal that most people want. And that is, no matter what part of life, like if it's love, it's like, find me my soulmate or find me my partner, which is huge. That's just a huge goal. It's overwhelming. Like, or like, I love when people say, oh, well, just go out and date. Well, it's like, okay, that sounds great. But like, what are the steps that I need to take to get there so that I don't feel scared to get out there, or I know what I'm doing when I go online on Bumble, or, you know, whatever it is. And so I say the same thing. Like, I actually have a program where I gamify everything, and every week they get dripped a challenge of the week, almost like in the gym, where it's like, okay, go to the grocery store and smile at 5 guys this week and just get confident doing that. Right. Cause it is about that muscle that builds over time that gives people confidence too. So I really like that you address it. And I deal with this too, but I wondered how you do. What happens when there's these old habits that creep up, and or people kind of fall in that victim mode, like, oh, I can't do it, or they give up? Are there things that you do to help them get back on the horse, so to speak? Or reshape
I
their
love that.
Habits. Yeah.
Right. To reshaping habits. Right. So people do have a lot of. So what I try to do with most of my clients is we identify where we're going to focus. And then if there are any roadblocks to that particular habit. So, for example, the drinking of the water. Right. So.
Right.
And if you have a bad habit of, or the habit, I don't say it's a bad habit, but the unwanted habit of drinking, I don't know, lots of Diet Cokes, not there's anything wrong with that, but if that's the unwanted habit that you have, we track it, right? So I'm big in tracking and trending. So I want to know, well, what if we replace, if you're telling me you're drinking 5 Diet Cokes a day and I want you to drink a glass of water a day, then tell me, let's track, first of all, let's not make any changes. Let's just track the Diet Coke. Now, what you'll find, interestingly enough, is that you know how we heard as a little kid when you're learning how to cook, a watch pot never boils, right? Well, when you shine the light of awareness on unwanted habits, I mean, you start watching them, they sort of like shrink back a little bit because they don't want to be watched. Those habits don't want to be watched. They don't want to be noticed. They want to run in the background. So we'll start just watching it and document. I said, I'm really going to need you to document. I don't care how you do that, but I really want to know when we get together next week, how many Diet Cokes, if that's our example, how many Diet Cokes you drink per day. So if we're meeting once a week on Wednesday, you're going to start tracking it tomorrow morning, Thursday, and you're going to track it all the way to the meet again. That's all we're going to do. And then we're going to talk about where in your day, if we remove one of these Diet Cokes, it would cause you the least amount of discomfort. That's the one we're looking for. The least amount. You probably need that midday one.
Right? That's awesome. I like that a lot.
Yeah. So we do that. And then we try to replace that, you know, the wanted habit right there. And we just track and train, and we move slowly. Again, like you said, we don't want to overwhelm the system. So that's how we deal with those unwanted habits. Now, you mentioned something that's very, very important. Quite often we get people, and I know you do too, who come in and they have a victim mindset. There is a reason. And quite honestly, when you listen to their story, when I listen to their story, it is a story that would make you say, oh, I can understand why you give up, but you didn't come to me because you want to give up, right? So we have to reframe that story. So this is how I do that. I want them, I said, tell me the story from beginning to end. Don't leave anything out. If you need to backtrack because you forgot something, we could spend this whole hour on you telling me that story because I want you to tell it all to me, right? And they tell me the story, and maybe we both have tissues and we just can't believe what this has happened, right? So then we get to the end of that story, and I say, now here's a beautiful thing about that story is that you could only tell me that story as the victor. You couldn't possibly still be the victim to tell the story. The victor tells the story about what happened, right? If you had succumbed to whatever was trying to destroy you, someone else would be telling me the story about you. You told me your own story. So, and then next week we come back and say, so your next time you're going to tell me this story as the hero. We have got to reframe the story, right? I said, so you're going to tell me who did what to this woman and how she came out on top and this happened. And then you're going to tell me. And so we have to, again, changing the perspective. The facts are the facts. Those things happened. I believe you. Now we've got to give those things a different meaning. And we have to practice retelling that story. And I said, and as often as you need to go back and you could have a really bad day, as we all do, and you come into your coaching session and you don't want to hear anything about how, you know, because this just all you can think about is what happened to you 20 years ago. And it's got you reeling today. Okay, we're going to spend some time on that today. Then that's what we're going to use our time for. But we're going to reframe that story. You're going to tell it to me as the hero until you start able to retell that story to yourself. Every time it pops up, and then your finding spots in that story that used to make you cry, that now make you sit back and pat yourself on the shoulder. It's like, I'm amazing. I'm just amazing.
Oh my God. It's so good too, because what you're doing, and it sounds like, just to kind of recap the whole kind of system that you have put together, is really having people visualize a new them, you know, and not just in their mind, but also in their body, in the way it feels, in the way that you move through life, in the way that what you would be doing. And like when you embody that energy, like it's that phrase, you know, act as if until you become, and you will become that when you walk in those shoes, you know, for a while. But it does take work. It does take repetition to kind of reprogram old programs. I mean, it's just like a computer. I tell people, our brains are like computers. We have to override it with, you know, new strategies and ways to like just also believe that it can be different. And how this can apply to your love life, you listening, I mean, all of the things that you're saying, you can absolutely do in your dating life. You know, there was a woman who I had her do exactly that. Like I had her track all her moods every time she would go on a date, and then like journal what her feelings were, not what the date consisted of, but how she felt on that date and what she was reacting to. Very different data that she was collecting. I call it data dating. Like, don't get attached to the outcome. Don't think of this person as a boyfriend or girlfriend. Just do the data dating. And then, you know, because her mantra was there were no good guys out there. She had a lot of toxic relationships until she started doing the data dating and just like looking at things and building that confidence and doing things differently. And that's all you can do, right? Is practice each day. And when you're present with it too, I feel like that's also an important piece to this. Like you can't get ahead of it, or you can't get bogged down from the past. You really have to be present and what you can do in that moment. And, you know, by the end, I have her even on video. She shouts, "There's abundance of men. I think there's men out there for me everywhere." And it was awesome. And she did. She started dating up a storm, and it never had happened. But she created her own reality, to your point. Like we all have the power to do that. So I love this conversation.
I love it.
I know.
I love the fact that she shouted it, because that's energy, right? That's a whole emotional thing, right? And people, that energy really, really matters, especially when we're talking about the dating world, right? We want to have that positive energy, but we've got to change our mindset. And I got to remember that data dating, it's like, yeah, what were you feeling in this moment? And then, you know, and it's okay to feel your feelings, but you got to be aware of them and realize, what is this attracting? And how, exactly. And when I'm feeling it, what signals am I giving off?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and with all the stuff that we're talking about, and maybe this could be kind of the parting words of wisdom, if you will, like, how does this all achieve greatness then? Like how, cause I mean, greatness, I guess, is such a big word. Right. And I just wondered how you teach that and how we achieve that.
So I use this quote by Socrates, oh my gosh, to know thyself is the beginning of wisdom. To know thyself is the beginning of wisdom. There is no greater path to be on than self-awareness. Because when you know your next level of greatness, I always talk about that, your next level of greatness is dependent upon how well you know yourself. When you're not wise about a particular thing, especially yourself, you may have goals in life that don't actually suit you. It could be the goals of your parent or your spouse or your neighbor. There are nice goals that they have for you, but they're not necessarily your goals. So you reach your next level of greatness, your goal, your level, when you have more wisdom, you're more wise about what it is that you want. And then you're able to also develop a pathway to get to that level. And it never stops. We don't actually just get there. Even if we do get the relationship of our life that we absolutely love, there's growth and development within that relationship. That relationship can go to the next level of greatness. Even if you think you're the happiest you've ever been, there are higher levels of greatness. The more wiser you become about yourself.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I could literally go another hour with you, but I know we're going out of time, but tell us or tell everybody where they can find you, any resources that you have for them. And seriously, thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. So you can find me on social media, all outlets under Dr. Dravon James. And that's just Dr. Dr. Dravon James. If you visit my website under the same name, you'll find lots of wonderful free tools that you can get overcoming self-esteem issues, dealing with all sorts of things that will help you as you present yourself to your world and your dating life and your love life, that help you first fall in love with yourself and make yourself more available for somebody else to fall in love with you.
Yes, amen to that, because it really is about looking in the mirror and saying, I'm sexy, I know what I got going on, and I love myself. So
absolutely. I would love everybody who's listening to this podcast, find a mirror now and say those things to yourself. You cannot say them enough. You cannot.
No, it's so true. Well, thank you again so, so much. And thank you listening. Of course, joining me today. And it's been the Charisma Quotient. I'm your host, Kimmy Seltzer. Remember, you can build confidence, make connections, and find love from the outside in. And make sure you go to my site, kimmyseltzer.com, as always, to see ways I can help you. And if you're like fed up with the direction of your love life and you want help achieving greatness and attracting the love you deserve, and remember, that deserving piece is really, really important. Just book a personal session with me and I can help you. Just go to the link in the show notes and book it now while you're motivated to do so. Now's the time. And remember, working on you is working on your dating life. That's all for now.